This is a very busy time of year, and if you're not careful, you'll miss the real meaning of Christmas. I want to bring a message to you now that we preach live at Benson Grove Baptist Church that would kind of emphasize that. It's got an unusual title. I trust to be a blessing to you. Listen now to the message entitled, Jesus in the Junk Drawer. I want to read to you from the book of Matthew. Matthew in chapter number 1 to begin with, and beginning at verse number 20. And it says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for which that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then dropping down to chapter number 2, I want to begin reading with verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule his people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Now I want to turn over to the book of Luke and read you a passage a little later in the life of our Lord, in chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 42. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Here's a wonderful passage of scripture that talks about the birth of our Lord and the wise men coming to worship him, and then at the age of 12 when he comes back to Jerusalem. Christmas time is a wonderful time. I love everything about it so far as people, the decorations and everything. Matter of fact, my wife and I, last night, I believe, or night before last, were out at the outlets and went in the Carolina Pottery and the Christmas section. There are Christmas trees and lights and everything all around there, and it was just beautiful. And then I know there's a place down the road that has all type of Christmas decorations, and I was in the Lowe's up and done a day or two ago, and they probably had 35 or 40 trees lit up, decorated. It was all so pretty, and I had a wonderful idea. My wife has the most Christmas decorations of anybody you've ever seen, and she loves to decorate, and I do love it. What I don't love is having to go up there and get all that stuff and take about 2 days to 3 days to bring it down, and then to get it all up and then take the boxes back and then later to take it down. And I had an idea. I didn't tell her, but it was a good idea. I was thinking if I could talk to her and say, now, honey, let's don't do all that decorating. I tell you what, about twice a week, why don't we just go to Lowe's and walk through and look at all those decorations and then go to Cracker Barrel and eat a meal. How many, wouldn't that be a great idea? I thought that was a wonderful idea. But now she won't buy that. I know. I'm looking at her right now. She's looking at me. She said, it ain't going to work. And so I know what's but, you know, I do enjoy it. I enjoy putting it up, and particularly when the children are all at home. And it was just, the decorating and them getting in and helping us and seeing everything and all the excitement. It was a blessing. But several years ago now, I had a very unusual experience. Matter of fact, it really did surprise me, because when I look back at this, it was 11 years ago. That's hard to believe, isn't it? 11 years ago. It must have been in June of 2001 when I was looking for something in a junk drawer. How many of you have at your house a junk drawer? I know, you know what I'm talking about. You've got knives and forks and spoons over here and this, that. But there's a drawer that gets everything that doesn't have a place to go. And I know there's usually something in there that I need later, and we throw stuff in there. But it must have been in the summertime, early spring. And I opened the junk drawer to look for something. I'm not sure what I was looking for. And all of a sudden, there amongst all the junk, I saw the little baby Jesus in the manger. My wife has several, probably 17, 18, 19, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 manger scenes, the best I can figure now. But for a long time, she had one manger scene that had all the figurines, and they were painted with ceramic. We've had it for years and years and years. And when I looked at that baby Jesus in the manger in that junk drawer, I realized it came out of that manger scene. I don't have any idea how it got in that drawer. We're usually very particular to take down the stuff and wrap it and pack everything. And how Jesus ended up in the junk drawer, I'm really not sure. I don't know if I did it or somebody else did it, or if he was put there by mistake. But I saw that. And then I began to think about how often that happens in all of our lives at this time of the year. Jesus in the junk drawer. It just happened. Didn't mean for it. I wouldn't have had that happen for anything. I know it was just ceramic and paint. I know that's just representative of our Lord. I know he's been crucified, buried, risen again. He's at the right hand of the Father. But to me, there was something very sacrilegious about that. It's just a little piece of ceramic representing our Lord. But for him to be in a junk drawer, it really bothered me. Don't know how it happened. And then my mind came back to this passage of Scripture when our Lord was 12 years of age, and how that they, Joseph and Mary, had gone to Jerusalem, and they were there to take care of business at that particular time of the year, at the time of the Passover. They stayed for several days, and then they left. And they went a whole day's journey before they realized Jesus was not with them. And the Bible says, and supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey. I wonder if you've ever had that experience around Christmas time. I wonder if you've ever just assumed that he was there. I wonder if it's ever been that you got so involved with other things you didn't realize he wasn't there. And as I begin to think about this passage of Scripture and think about Jesus in the junk drawer, I thought about our priorities around this time of the year, Christmas time. As you think about this passage of Scripture I've just read to you, who was it that lost Jesus in this particular time? It was Joseph, to whom the Holy Ghost said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." A man who had received a revelation and a visitation like no other man on the face of the earth had ever had. He went a day's journey without Jesus and didn't even know he wasn't with him. And then Mary, the one who was highly favored above all the women of Israel, and no other woman's ever been favored like her. God the Holy Ghost chose her. God the Father chose her. And the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed her. And she conceived, the virgin conceived and bore a son. And his name was Jesus. And yet Mary, the mother of Jesus, could go a day's journey and not even realize he wasn't with them. Those who love him most sometimes take him for granted. And I want to challenge us that at this Christmas season, that we don't take Jesus for granted at Christmas time, that we don't ignore him, and that we don't really not appreciate his presence with us and experience his presence at Christmas. It's so easy to do that. I wonder why they did that. If you were to take Joseph and talk to him, or take Mary and talk to her and say, would you ever go off and leave Jesus? They'd say, absolutely not. Would you, as a believer who trusted Christ, who have your sins forgiven and who know the Lord, would you at Christmas time, of all the times of the year, would you get so busy you'd forget him and not really make him a part of your life and all that you do? You'd say, absolutely not. He's the reason for the season. That's what it's all about. But I find that often those of us who love him most will get in a place where he's not real to us even in this time of the year. How could that possibly happen? Well, I believe in this particular occasion, it was probably preoccupation. They just got preoccupied with a lot of things going on. They traveled and they'd been there for quite a few days. Joseph was probably busy getting everything together. Mary was getting everything together. There was probably a good number of people in that entourage or family traveling with them or whoever, I don't know. And it was just a good crowd of people going. And they just got preoccupied. They did not leave him because they of some sin drew their attention away from him. They didn't do it out of some sort of rebellion against him or their lack of love for him. But it just happened. They just got preoccupied with all the activity and didn't realize he wasn't with them. You'll have to be careful this year at Christmas time that Jesus doesn't get lost in the junk drawer. That you don't get so preoccupied that everything else takes your attention and you don't focus on him. You'll have to give special attention to do that. And I noticed not only probably that they were preoccupied, but I am quite sure that during that time that Joseph is thinking about things that had to be done at home, things he had to get back to. He'd been off for 2 or 3 days, and he was a carpenter, and he had things to build and things to do. And because of all the activity and his desire to get back to his regular routine, he forgot Jesus. If you're not careful, you'll let the cares of this world and your anticipation of all the things you've got to do. You've got to do these things at Christmas time. You've got to do this shopping. And you got to get this done and that done. And all the things that you've got to do. And all of those things. If you're not careful, you're concerned with things that you've got to do will cause you to miss the blessing of Jesus at Christmas time. You'll miss him and he'll end up in the junk drawer somewhere, and you'll wake up and you'll say, how in the world did that happen? How did I get through all of these days and all this business and I didn't really have time for Jesus? I want to ask you a question. Not only why did he end up being left and who left him, but where did they leave him? Where did they leave him? Where did they lose him? Well, they'd come to Jerusalem. And they lost him in religious ritual. I mean, you go through things that even, you know, he talked about the traditions of men. And if we're not careful, we'll have certain traditions and certain things and certain rituals. And all those rituals, we'll lose Jesus. I've told the story many times, and it's hard to believe how big Claire is now. But the first time that we ever did hear the hanging of the greens, and Clara was sitting down about middle way of the pew there where Regina and I sit and the family, and as the program progressed, she kept moving further and further this away, and I was sitting right on the aisle. She ended up in the aisle with me, and she was just a little bit restless. And then they brought in the manger scene, and they set the manger up. And everything was just perfect, everything beautiful. And the manger scene, the kids bringing in, setting up different things. And she kept trying to get up and pull away from, and she wouldn't be still. And I was pulling her back down, and she kept getting up. And I said, you got to be still. And she kept trying to get up and everything. And I kept pulling her back down, and she looked at me, and she turned and looked at me. And here's what she said, Papa, I just want to see Jesus. She was just trying to get up to see Jesus. I'd got caught up in all the pageantry and all the beautiful decorations, and the little girl, all she wanted to do was see Jesus. And if you're not careful in all the activities and things that you do around Christmas, you'll forget the one that it's all about. Not that you don't love him, not that you're not related to him, not that you would do anything to dishonor him, or not that you're drawn away by some awful sin, but simply by the overwhelm of religious ritual. And you'll forget what it's all about. You'll forget what he's done for you. And then I think that in all of the busyness that was going on around them, boy, it's a hustle bustle, much like it is in Raleigh at 5 o'clock. This is Jerusalem. This is the capital of Israel. People everywhere, things going on. And because of all the hustle and bustle and just getting lost in the crowd, so many kinfolk and so many children and grandchildren and things at school and things in the community and even things at church and so many people and so many folk and so much hustle and bustle. And if you're not careful, you'll miss Jesus this time of the year. You'll not have time to fellowship with him. You'll not recognize him. You'll not spend time worshiping him or praising him and adoring him. Jesus will end up in the junk drawer and you won't know how it happened. I mean, you'll go through this whole season and realize, boy, I'm just exhausted from all the busyness. But you had no blessing. You had no encounter with the Lord. You had no reality where he's at. What do you do? What can you do to avert that? When they realized he wasn't there, they did some certain things that if he'd have done it to start with, they wouldn't have ever gotten this mess. And if you and I will approach Christmas this year with these few thoughts in mind, I believe it'll help us. Number one, they had a determined will. They had left Jesus, and they were on their way home and had everything together. But it was no question in their mind when they realized he wasn't with them, they turned around and went back. I don't know how many people were involved. I don't know all that had been done, but they never gave thought to anything else. But we've got to find him. And they made up their mind. They had a determined will that he would be in their presence and they'd be in his presence. And you know what you'll have to do? You'll have to this Christmas, as you're getting all your decorations out, as you're running around trying to buy gifts, as you're cooking, as you're going here and there to this get together and that get together and all this other business, you're going to have to determine in your own will and heart, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to adore him. I'm going to magnify him. You'll have to determine to do that if you do that. Then I'd say this to you. If you're going to do that, you ought to have a diet of the Word of God. The wise men came to seek him. And then as the king called and said to his wise men and his counselors, where's Jesus to be born? They said, in Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written. They knew the Word of God, and they knew where to find him. And I'll just say this to you. Don't let the business of this day, and don't let the singing of the carols, and I love singing, I love the music, I love everything about it, I love the lights and everything. I love all of that. But don't let this Christmas season go by without spending several hours in the Word of God reading that story over and over and over again. Of how Jesus Christ came. The birth of Jesus was on this wise. Read that story over and over again. Have a steady diet of the Word of God. Oh, we're going to have, my wife's already making a list, and my daughter, we're going to go down for Thanksgiving with them, and they've got all these things together. Christmas will be the same deal. We're going to have all the food laid out, and I'm for every bit of it. I am. I love it. But just as sure as you plan ahead for the meal that you're going to enjoy, please do this. You've got to have a diet of the Word of God. You've got to have a determined will, and you've got to have a diet of the Word of God. You've got to spend some time. Make up your mind that beginning even today that you'll take these passages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, go back and read some of the Old Testament about the coming of our Lord. And read those passages of scriptures. Read in Isaiah about how unto us a son is given, how a child is born and a son is given. Read over and over again about how he'll be the Prince of Peace and all those things, and come to the New Testament, read those passages over and over again. You need, during this time, if you don't want Jesus to stand up in a junk drawer at your house, you need to die to the Word of God. Spend time in this book. Some of our friends are traveling on the highways. I ought to tell you, you have to just discipline yourself to get the Word of God. Take the Word of God with you in your 18-wheeler. And when you stop at night, read the story. Listen to CDs and have a diet of the Word of God. If you're going to not end up with Jesus in a junk drawer at your house this year, I tell you what you better do. You'd better have a diet of the Word of God. You've got to have a determined will. But I'll tell you something else you'll need. You'll need a deliberate act of worship. You will have to have a deliberate act of worship. You'll have to plan to worship Him. You'll have to allot time. Well, we got to go see Aunt Susan, Grandma, and so on, so on, so on. I got all these people we're going to go see. But you got to have a deliberate act of worship. I believe you ought to assemble with God's people in worship. But you ought to plan daily to have a worship time when you adore Him. Boy, listen. And when those angels appeared and they said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Oh, listen, that what a time of joy Christmas ought to be. And it ought to be a worship experience. You've got to have a deliberate worship. That is, you've just got to make up your mind you're going to worship Him. And spend time with Him and look to Him. And just enjoy the blessings of God during this time. Now look, I mean, how many days you've got beforehand, I don't know how long it is that you'll have to plan for Christmas. But you've got to have a determined will if you're not going to end up with Him in a junk drawer. You've got to have a diet of the Word of God. You have deliberate worship. But I'll tell you something else you're going to have. You're going to have a dedicated daily walk. And we've got things planned around here, and I'm looking forward to every one of them beginning next Sunday night and going on through and the children's program and the adult choir cantata and all the special get-togethers and get parties and ladies circle and all of that. I enjoy every bit of that. You enjoy that. But you know what you've got to have? You've got to have a daily, dedicated walk with Him. You've just got to spend some time with Him and just do those things. Tim, the other Sunday night, shared something he'd shared with me previously about his daughter, Melanie. Looked at him one time and said, "Daddy, I just want some time with you." And you know what? If you had to ask Jesus this year, how many of you have grandkids and everything and they quit, just suggesting, they've started doing computer printout lists of what they want for Christmas? Anybody like that besides me? Raise your hand. I hope I'm not the only one. I mean, they just give you a computer printout of all the things they want. I wonder tonight if you could ask the Lord Jesus Christ what He'd want from you this Christmas. What would it be? I wonder what it'd be. I tell you what I believe it'd be. I believe He said, "I want to make sure that you give me your time. I hope you plan to have a dedicated walk with me daily. Just walk with Him and fellowship with Him, spend time with Him and get together." When I was sick some time ago my family was so wonderful to be there and some of you came, and when they let folk come in and this, that, and the other, those were wonderful days. But as I got better and I began to think about getting out of the hospital and getting back in the routine, you know what I miss most? You know what I miss more than anything when I was confined there? It's being with God's people. It's being around the folk of God. I wanted so desperately to be with my friends and my family. And I'll tell you something. Emmanuel, God with us. He wanted to be with us. And if you ask Him tonight, "Lord, what would you want from me more than anything else this Christmas season?" He said, "I want to be with you. I want you to spend time with me daily. Think about His goodness. Think about all that He's done. Think about His blessings on us and spend time with Him." He'll end up a junk drawer if you're not careful. You'll have to have a dedicated daily walk with Him, or He'll end up the junk drawer at your house. I'm going to spend time with Him every day. I want to spend time, special time with Him every day. And can I suggest one other little thing to you tonight? If they had a talk with Him that morning and during the day that day, they'd have realized he wasn't with them. And they didn't talk with him. They didn't communicate with him. I mean, he's back at the temple. And if you'll spend time with him daily and fellowship with him, talk with him, you're probably not going to end up in a junk drawer at your house. You have time with him. But here's the other thing I want to say to you. And that is a declaration of his word to declare him. This world wants to eliminate Jesus from Christmas. You know, I preached a message a few years ago on whose birthday is it anyway? I mean, they don't want to have Christ in Christmas. It's his birthday, praise God. And if you don't want him to end up in a junk drawer, there has to be a declaration of his word. You have to declare that word. I don't mean jump up on the counter at Walmart and go to preaching. That might not be bad if you want to try that sometime. But you ought to start right now declaring his word. We were in a meeting a little while ago, and one of our men who's going to be Santa Claus in some place of business, he's got a plan that he's going to give a little simple word to the children that come to him to remind them of whose birthday it is anyway. And I'll tell you what, if you'll talk about him, if you'll magnify him, he said this. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Yeah. Don't go through this Christmas season without declaring his word, without reminding people whose birthday it is anyway, and pointing them to Christ. And you say, well, it won't do any good. They won't listen. I understand that. Most of them won't, but there'll be some that will. I found out last year that every time I'd say Merry Christmas, everybody'd say Merry Christmas back to me. Only one or two didn't. But I'm going to tell you something. It honors the Lord Jesus Christ. And if nobody ever listens, it'll bless you, it'll honor him, and it'll be a blessing to him for his children to declare who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas time has to be declared. And if you don't want him to end up the junk drawer where you're at, you ought to tell his word. What's it all about? Why is Christmas real? In the judgment house, Melania said, I don't understand it all. You know, she said, at Christmas time, we talk about his birth, and then we celebrate his death at Easter. And Melissa was quick to explain, we don't celebrate his death, we celebrate his life. The gospel is that Jesus did come at Christmas. He lived a sinless life. He died on Calvary's cross. He was buried and he arose again and he's alive forevermore. And we're not talking about a babe in a manger. We want to tell the whole story. And the gospel is that Jesus Christ did come, born of a virgin. He was God incarnate in human flesh, the God-man who bore our sins. He was God, and he was absolutely sinless. And he died. He didn't die for any sin he had, but the Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Christmas is about him coming to give his life a ransom. And then it says this, the wages of sin is death. He paid that wage. Christmas gifts are awful expensive nowadays, and it gets more so the more children you have. And I was up at my sister's, and my brother-in-law went home to be with the Lord, and there were six children, and there were 11 grandchildren, and then 10 great-grandchildren, and plus the folk that they married and all the crowd around there, and there was people everywhere. I mean, they were all over the place, just everybody there. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, to give his life a ransom. He was absolutely sinless, and there's never, ever been another baby born like him. He was born of a virgin, and he had no sin in him. He was God incarnate in human flesh. And when he died for sin. Up at that house, when I saw all those children and grandchildren, my mama, I could tell you what everybody got, because everybody got socks. And I told my wife, I said, if my mama was living, there'd be a whole lot of socks bought this year, because she kept up with all them young'uns and grand young'uns. I don't know, but she'd know every one of them, a whole lot of socks. Christmas can get expensive, but there's never been a gift given that could any way compare to the price of that greatest gift of all. Thanks be unto God for the gift, that unspeakable gift. That's the greatest price ever paid. The wages of sin is death. That sinless Son of God bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and He purchased our redemption. He died for us on that cross. He was buried, and He rose again, and He paid all of our sin debt. Wow. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was a supreme price that was paid, but for me and you, it's free. It is a gift, a great gift. And what a tragedy, not only to have Jesus not in the junk, to have Him in the junk drawer, but not to have Him in your heart during this Christmas season. The greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ loved you. He suffered and bled and died on that cross. He bore your sins in His own body. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And He's paid that sin debt. And the Bible declares plainly, he that hath the Son hath life. If you have Him, you have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What an awful tragedy that Jesus would end up in the junk drawer and not in your heart. And what a difference this Christmas would be if you'd but give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the greatest Christmas gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me while we are praying and looking to the Lord right now? I wonder if you know Him, how do you get a gift? It may very well be that your Christmas gift's already bought. Somebody loves you, your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, grandparents. They've already bought it and got it put up somewhere. Already got your name on it. And at Christmas time, when you go to their house or they come to your house, they have that gift packed, that gift wrapped with beautiful paper, beautiful bows, and a name tag. And there on that name tag, it will say to, whatever your name is, and from the one who bought it, because they loved you. Can I say to you tonight, there's a gift offered to you that's already been bought, it's already been paid for, and it's wrapped in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to whosoever will may come. He suffered and bled and died for you. And it's a free gift. But in order for you to enjoy that gift, you have to take it, accept it, and then open it and see it and use it. It has to be received. My friend, Jesus loved you and He died for you. And in this Christmas season, the greatest gift is offered to you of eternal life. Would you receive Him? If you will, right now, would you pray this simple prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe You lived a sinless life. You died a sacrificial death on the cross. You bore my sins in Your own body. You died for me. I believe that. I believe You were buried. And I believe You rose again. Right now, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Come in my heart and forgive me of all my sin. Help me to love You and serve You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. Dear friends, if you pray that prayer, you believe in your heart that God saved you. I'll tell you what's going to be, this is going to be the greatest Christmas you've ever known. And for those of us who are saved, I pray that this will be the greatest Christmas we've ever had. Because in spite of all that goes on around us and the commercialization of Christmas and the desire to take Christ out of Christmas, you and I can make it the best Christmas we've ever had. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you'd use your word to speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And God, I pray that that joy that the angels talked about on that night, they'd know the Savior that the angels announced that night, and that the joy of Christmas will live in their heart and life. Make this the very best Christmas ever for every Christian. And God, I pray that many would come to know Him as Savior. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed here in the auditorium, Brother Brad's going to sing a song for us. I want us to stand together. So very many of you came to the altar this morning. And while you're standing, I want you to do something unusual tonight. I don't know. I don't have any idea. I preached this message 11 years ago. Must have been over in the old building. And when I finally found my notes, I do have some sort of record-keeping file, but I finally found it. It's amazing how much I didn't have written down. I do that sometime. God will give me a little thought, and I just write a word or two down. I don't know if God will let us use this on the highway or not. Don't know what told Jim. We didn't know what God would do. But would you right now pray that whether He uses this or whatever, that the thousands upon thousands of truckers and travelers who receive CDs this Christmas season, and the gift bags that we do on the weekend of the Christmas Eve, that many will come to know Him. Will you pray that they'll feel the love that the CDs are sent out with? Will you pray that they'll feel the love of God's people who get together all the goodies and spend time, put the bags together, and give that time to evangelize? And most of all, will you pray that they'll feel the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him? It's my desire that people would know Christ. I love to see people who know their sins are forgiven, who have joy unspeakable, full of glory, and know how to really enjoy life and live. I want to see them all come. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Will you pray that their blind eyes will be opened and that their hard hearts will be melted and that they'll receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Will you pray one for another that we could be good witnesses as we have a determined will to worship Him this Christmas? As we have a diet of the Word of God, as we do deliberate worship, and as we declare the message, will you pray that God empower every one of us and that somehow somebody who's hurting, somebody who doesn't even know what they need, will find in Christ their every need met? I don't know if you're saved or not. If you don't know Him tonight, perhaps you prayed that prayer a while ago. I'd encourage you, don't be ashamed if you're a member of this church, if you've been baptized, if I baptized you, whoever baptized you. But if you don't know Christ and tonight you really want to know Him, I'd invite you to come.